Hi, this is Relate to the Bible podcast with Deborah Styling, a podcast that helps listeners realize the Bible is still relevant in the 21st century. Hi, this newest episode is called The Inheritances of the Tribe of Manasseh. It's from Joshua chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. You can also find this at Books of the Bible in smaller chunks at https://Bible in smaller chunks, BibleInSmallerChunks.blogspot.com. The Lord had it on my heart to write this for people in our busy world. But in doing so, I'm ever mindful of Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, not to add to or take away from anything written in the Bible. So I wasn't sure how to approach any of this, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Lord at a point had on my heart that I'm just not supposed to change the meaning of any of the text in the Bible. He, on the other hand, has shown me ways to enhance understanding that meaning. Sometimes it's by having transition words because it's kind of choppy and it doesn't quite make as much sense. And I put that within brackets, way I do with some of these other things I'll tell you, so that it makes it easier to understand, but it doesn't change the meaning. Or sometimes I'll put more current words. Instead of using the word host, which is in the Bible, I will put army, if that's what it's referring to, or stars, if that's what it's referring to. And I think sometimes it's referring to angels. But anyway, but whatever is appropriate for that, I'll put that within brackets to show that there's been a slight change, but it's not to change the meaning. It is, you know, to make it so it's easier for people to understand what that meaning is. Anyway, sometimes it's putting who's speaking and who's being spoken to, because quite often they will say he spoke to him, and that can get a little tricky. So if I, Lord has it on my heart, or I think it's potentially problematic, I might put one or both of the names of the people involved in the conversation. Also, the Lord had it on my heart to put this into a table format. Doesn't affect anything for you because it reads just like I'm gonna read it to you. And but if you get on the blog site, it just looks a little different because it's in a table format, but hopefully you find it beneficial. Also, the Lord had it on my heart to not put in repetitive text unless, since he had it on my heart to put the make to do this for people in our busy world, to not put in repetitive text unless within the chapter, unless it adds new meaning or it's done for emphasis, because quite often it does, you know, it is there for emphasis or adds a little bit new information. So those times it will be there. But if it doesn't, part of it won't be included, the repetitive portion. It won't be summarized and say all 12 tribes did this, or, you know, it's a brief overview of it. It depends on the particular thing and whether the Lord had it on my heart to do so. But anyway, but that alters the verse numbering. Also, sometimes it condense, compress, and combine similar words. So those together will alter the verse numbering, where it won't be this is verse 7, this is verse 8, this is verse 9. I will do like I'm going to do now. This is over Joshua, which is the book of the Bible, chapter 17, which is the chapter, and is over verses 1 through 18, so that you know that the vast majority of the pertinent information the Lord had on my heart to include here will be within this podcast. Also, this is primarily done with the King James Version Bible, lots and lots of prayers, but at times I utilize BibleGateway.com, BibleHub.com, NIV Bible, Webster Dictionary, and other internet resources as necessary. Let's see. Also, you need to know that I told you about minor changes, you know, like who's speaking and being spoken to, or transition words, or more current terms. Those will be within brackets, but I don't tell you about it, although you can see it if you get on the blog site, because I used to in the beginning, but then it makes it really choppy. And the whole idea is to aid in understanding the messages in the Bible, so I don't want to make it choppy. But there are other times where there's something that a passage is referring to something that happened in another chapter of the Bible or a whole nother book of the Bible, and the person might read it and think they understand what it's saying, you know, or they might listen to it and think they understand what it's saying, but it's really referring to something happened in the past, and they don't have that backstory. So if the Lord has it on my heart, oh, put that in so they have the backstory. I will either paraphrase it briefly and put it within brackets, or I will put Bible verses that give that background information. But because those were added to possibly add for clarity or be beneficial to the listener or viewer, I put those within brackets, but those are in a different color font, but in that only helps the person seeing on the blog site. But so since you can't see the different color font, I'll say within brackets it says, so you know, aha, she put this on here to possibly aid in understanding or providing clarity. Now, many of you may have very in-depth biblical knowledge of background issues, and you might think, well, that was no big deal. But to some people, they may not have that depth of knowledge, or so much happened in the Bible, you might not know which thing it's referring to. So on those times the Lord has it on my heart, then I include it. And like I said, I'll say within brackets, it says, just tip you off. Okay, let's see. Also, if I come to something that's foretelling of a future event, I will say something like, aha, this is a red asterisk. It's foretelling of a future event. Sometimes I can briefly summarize that right after the passage, but if I can't do it briefly, I don't do that. And then also, if I come to something that refers to when Jesus has spoken, his words will be in red, but I will tell you that. Okay, the inheritances of the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh is one of Joseph's sons. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So for Joshua 17, verses 1 through 18. Also, there was a lot. Okay, this is an aside. Sounds like a lot, like a whole bunch, but it's a lot, and a lot is like pulling sticks. You know, I don't know exactly what a lot is, but it's a way of kind of a random way of them determining who has certain inheritance. So if we pulled a lot. Okay, just wanted to explain that. For the first half of the inheritance of land given for the first half tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was Joseph's firstborn, and Machir was Manasseh's firstborn. Machir had already received Gilead and Bashan from Moses, and he is the father of the people of Gilead because he was a man of war. Also, there was a lot for the other half of Manasseh, for their family, for the families of Abiezer, Helek, Azrael, Shechem, Hefer, and Shemida. These are Manasseh's male children by their families. Okay, I need to apologize up front. I probably don't pronounce these words right. I just do the best I can. But Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, who was the son of Gilead, that was the son of Machir, Manasseh's son. Zelophehad didn't have any sons, but only daughters. These are the daughters' names: Mahla, Noah, Agua, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came up to Eleazar the priest and Joshua Nun's son, and the leader, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our relatives. Therefore, according to the Lord's command, Joseph gave them an inheritance among the relatives of their father. Manasseh received 10 portions of land in addition to the land he already received in Gilead and Bashan on the other side of Jordan. Since the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh had an inheritance among the sons, then the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the sons of Manasseh. The coast border was from Asher to Mishmethah that lies east of Shechem. The border went along to the north, no, went along to the south and included the inhabitants of En-Tapua. The land of Tapua belonged to the tribe of Manasseh, but actually Tapua itself was located on the border of Manasseh and belonged to the tribe of Ephraim. The coastal boundary went down to the brook of Kenna, south of the river. There were cities belonging to Ephraim along the cities of Manasseh, but Manasseh's border was on the north side of the brook and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. To the south, it was Ephraim's, and to the north, it was Manasseh's, and the Mediterranean Sea was its border. They met together in Asher's land on the north, and in the east in Issachar's land. In Issachar's land and Asher's land, Manasseh had Beth-Shean and its towns, Ibleam and its towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, Endor and its towns, Taanach and its towns, and Megiddo and its towns, which were within the three countries. Still, the people of Manasseh couldn't drive out the Canaanite inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites continued to live in that land. It happened when the people of Israel had grown strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but didn't totally drive them out. The people of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given me one lot and one portion of land to inherit, since I have a large amount of people, since the Lord has abundantly blessed me?" Joshua answered them, "If you have a large amount of people, then go up to the forest and cut down and clear the land for yourself there, in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim is too small for you." The people of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley have iron chariots, both those of Beth-Shean and its towns, and those who live on the in the valley of Jezreel." Joshua spoke to the people of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and saying, "You have many people and are very powerful. You shall not only have one lot, but the mountain shall be yours." Okay, just in the site. So Manasseh, Ephraim are Joseph's sons, and then also Gad. There's 2.5 tribes got land on the one side of the Jordan River, and the other 9.5 tribes got it on the other side of the Jordan River. And that's because the 2.5 tribes talked to Moses, talked to God. God said it was all right. So Moses told them they could have it, but they couldn't have that land on the one side of the Jordan River. They asked for it because they had a lot of livestock. And it was an area good for livestock. But Moses told them, "You can't have it and be with your livestock and your families while the rest of the 9.5 tribes have to go, you know, move out of all of those, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Hittites and all of those." And it was that the 2.5 tribes on the one side of the Jordan River told Moses, "No, we will go, we'll leave our families and our flocks here, and we will go and we will fight until all the rest of the Israelites get their inheritance. Then we will come back." Moses and Lord God agreed with that, and now they're all back, and this is the inheritance for half of Manasseh. Okay. Joshua spoke to the people of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, "You have many people and are very powerful. You may not have only one lot, but the mountain shall be yours." I know he said that, but I started talking and I want to make sure you had continuity. "For it is a forest, and you shall cut it down and clear it, and it will be yours. It is to its furthest borders. You shall drive out the Canaanites, even though you have iron chariots, and they are strong. The next time I share a passage, you will be surveying the remaining land and the inheritance of Benjamin," which is on the other side of the Jordan River. Joshua 18, verses 1 through 28. Please share this with others. Thank you. Thank you for joining us at Relate to the Bible. I look forward to you joining us next time, where you will hear more examples of how you can relate the Bible in ways that are especially meaningful to you.